Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Las Vegas, Nevada. We're here with No Spin Rodeo, Greg Teagarden, our producer, and the wonderful Kendra Santos and myself, Tommy Joe Lucia, right here next to the gold carpet, as we have been for 5 days now, I think.
Yep.
The weather's gorgeous outside, and we gotta ram through this one because you got to get out of here.
42 minutes or something like that. Yeah, got to roll because we open today's Oat Berries Junior Steer Wrestling World Championship out at the Convention Center at the Junior World Finals. So, got to leave on time.
Well, and then tomorrow, just so you know, we will not be recording an episode tomorrow of No Spin Rodeo. We'll pick back up on Thursday because of all of the activities. Kendra will be doing her normal journalistic prowess, and I will do a crossover. So if you want to, I'll be doing a crossover at Rump Chat because Hambone, who's the co-host of Rump Chat, will need to be at the Thomas and Mac. So I'll do a crossover with him and then slip over to Flint Rasmussen stage. So all of us nobodies are filling in on Wednesday. So it looks like my Wednesday's busy now. So here we go. Before we start the rodeo, I guess a couple things that I was going to bring up. I don't know the answer to this, but I'm trying to find out. So there was an announcement that there was an extension of the agreement between the PRCA and Las Vegas. 10 years, I think, right?
It's 12.
12 years. Was there any money?
Never a dollar that I've ever seen.
So there's not been any kind of discussions on how that impacts. So I'd be interested in when that information is going to be released. But more importantly, I'm interested if breakaway roping was included in that deal.
I think we're all waiting on all the details on that. I'm sure there's a reason for releasing it without any details. I've heard the general round number of $25 million, but I don't know the details on it or how it breaks down or what it's really going to mean. So I feel like we just have to sit tight until we get more information.
Well, I saw Jackie Crawford posted, and I saw it on the deal. There was someone with a sign in the arena at the Thomas and Mack that said, add breakaway roping. And, you know, I'm just saying this. We added it at Utah Days of 47 early. We were one of the few that started right off the bat with equal money, and because I think it's a great product. And so we'll see if tradition and growth, who wins on that. But I sure would like to see the breakaway and the Thomas and
the Mack. Only, you know, rub I've ever heard as a reason, you know, for anyone to of the opinion not to was that insane strict time schedule of getting everyone in and out of the Thomas and Mack and back into the casinos at a very strict time. And I think the breakaway ropers have even said, hey, we can run our event in like 7 minutes or something like that, you know.
It is true.
So I feel like we need to wait for more facts, right?
I agree.
I would mention that last night was, you know, tough enough to wear pink night. And it's always a fun one. Pink boots on timed event horses, pink horn wraps on the team rep and steers, pink chaps on some of the cowboys, pink ropes. The picket man even used pink ropes last night, and some of the cowboys did. It's fun. Oat and I are seated right. We're surrounded by Luke Brown's family this year, and it's really
cool.
Fun. Like we sat with Lightning Aguilera's family at her first finals a year ago, and it really is fun. And the first three rounds were rough for Luke, and last night was the first time, not coincidentally, he's the oldest guy here, 49 years old, and he was 3-9 in 1 second last night, and he did come up and sit with us last night after the team wrapping.
Cool.
That was fun. But back to the tough enough to wear pink, you know, that sitting right in front of us last night was Terry Wheatley. And Terry Wheatley is the founder of Tough Enough to Wear Pink. And so everybody loves to, you know, dress in pink and it's fun and everything. But Terry Wheatley, I've known her my whole life. She's a cancer survivor. She's the wife of NFR header Jim Wheatley, who's one of my dad's dearest, oldest friends. And she's the mother of NFR header Wade Wheatley. Like, she's married to one, she raised one, and now her grandkids are, you know, coming on. And but she is a badass businesswoman. She's a freaking boss in the wine industry. She's like, Tough Enough to Wear Pink is this, you know, very cool community service to also to give back to rodeo and to, you know, her fellow cancer survivors. But Google Terry Wheatley sometime in the wine industry, and she is a boss, and wow, she is a badass. She's a smart lady. And so anyway, it was fun to see her last night. When that arena's pink, it's because it was Terry Wheatley's idea. So anyway, Leighton Berry won the bareback riding last night. 87.5. It was the TV pen. Another bareback riding comment I will say is it was another less than night for Rocker Steiner, two in a row. And after, you know, winning the first two rounds, he's had a couple, you know, in the 70s. And 19-year-old Rocker, again, took it like a man and walked out of the arena. I was proud of that.
Yep. Yeah, right? I saw that. You know, I think I think the worst pen of livestock overall has been the bareback horses in how they're set, how even they are, and even how they buck. I just, you know, if you score a 78 and it takes an 89 to win it, you know, I just wonder, right? So I think I just feel like the bareback horses as a whole have not been as even nor quite given everybody a shot.
Which
that's
is
my opinion.
If that is the case, it's a sad thing. This is our Super Bowl, and so
and that's an opinion. That's just me watching. You know, the Cowboys pick through the event directors, and animals have off nights, but I've been seeing four or five in a pen that I'm like, ew, right? Not one. You know, it's a luck of the draw when one has an off night, but I could be wrong.
This should not be a luck of the draw situation. It always is. There's always going to be, no matter calves, steers, bucking horses, bulls, there's always going to be, you know, they can't be all the same. They have a right pulse, you know, so they're not exactly the same. But to give you a chance, so that in the rough stock events, so it's a riding contest, that is, I mean, this, again, yep, this is our Super Bowl. That's a fair expectation when you've grounded out, you know, all year long to get here. So
I agree with that. And Leighton's a Weatherford, Texas guy. And no, I mean, other than it didn't help my fantasy team. You know, I've got Tim O'Connell, and I've known Tim, like, this is one of those age moments, right, since he was tiny at Three Hills Rodeos. His dad was a pickup man. We were all very good friends, all family dinners behind the chutes. And, man, I'm just waiting for him to bust it out, right? And it just hasn't happened for him yet. So we'll see how.
Well, and the thing, like Leighton, I've gotten to know him a little bit better recently. He is the team captain on AgTruckTrader.com and you know, my son Taylor's on that team, so I've gotten to know him a little bit better. My son is an NFR tie-down roper. Leighton Berry can rope calves.
That's right.
At a very high level, which, yeah, that's super.
He's really a
super
roper
cool
turned bareback rider,
and he's overcome major injury to be back here, and watching him warm up is a thing of beauty. So that was fun to see him strike last night. Really fun also on
before we leave the bareback riding, because I did this research, so I'm going to say it. In the world standings, Keenan Hayes with 322, Rocker with 214, 108K. So we got 108,000. And I think I'm going to start kind of watching this, because if you'll kind of watch the average, And I'm looking at this. We'll see. You know, every day now starts to become more intense on that gold buckle. And it's very difficult, even if you're in this business, to keep up. Right. I mean, it's hard with everything going on. But there's some interesting stories. So that's a pretty big 108K. As we go through this, we'll see is a pretty good lead.
Let's talk about the bulldogging. Yesterday was special to me. We had Oat and I here at the South Point in the Grandview Lounge had the welcome reception and back number ceremony for his junior steer wrestling tour. And who showed up but our first champion ever from our inaugural tour in 2017, but Bridger Anderson. And his mama Robin, she is North Dakota Kendra. Like, I've never known a rodeo mom who was so much like me. And we look at it all the same. We're both like staunch, may the best man win. We cheer for everybody's kids. Like, you know, we can't love our kids more, but we're so happy for whoever wins because they deserve it. And anyway, I love these people. But they showed up and made the effort to come back, you know, to part of where he started. And by the way, like, Bridger won our junior steer wrestling tour title in 2017 on a horse, his horse Whiskers. And that's what he's riding here at the finals. And this, you know, it shows part of the youth, you know, again, you know, these kids getting on big stages and then they show up on the biggest stage and they feel like they've been there before. But Bridger, another thing about Bridger, Clayton Haas, NFR steer wrestlers, hazing for him. This is the camaraderie of the Bulldoggers that he's hazing on Metallica, which Metallica is in the conversation for one of the greatest of all time. Hazing horses, which if hazers are unsung heroes, their horses probably get even less press. But that great horse for, you know, Tyler Pearson to send that horse to help some guys here is pretty special and speaks to how cool the Bulldoggers really are. But Bridger, make no mistake, even the timed event guys, like, he was headed from our welcome reception yesterday to the chiropractor's table. So, you know, aches and pains aren't just for rough stock riders.
In the Bulldog, and it usually, now you can correct me because I would consider you the timey of the two of us, but you'll see slips and mistakes and tie down and really guys gunning and the team roping and big changes. But it always seemed to me that the steer wrestling was kind of the most consistently less amount of, you know, slips, like little things that cost you the time. And it just seems like this year, and maybe I'm miswatching it, but it's been a little more over the board, like a little more unpredictable. Is that
like
fair?
No one has just taken the wheel and dominated? Yeah.
No, you know, yeah. And you see some slips from guys that you're like, that is not.
Well,
expect.
Yeah, little things can happen. And also sometimes, you know, I'm no bulldogger, but I sit with one every night. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it's just if you just get in a hurry a little bit and then it goes south tough. It's just like getting a late, you know, if you don't get out of the barrier here, it just dominoes into hard things, and that are, you know, the back end comes so fast. So we better keep rolling because we got to get out of here. But Clint Summers and Jake Long have won three of the first four rounds in the team roping. And, you know, I have no idea how many people, you know, went after them in the fantasy league. Did you? Oh, you're
yep.
Smiling right now.
Yeah.
Marrying me.
So
that's all you've got for money, really.
pretty much.
You don't often, like Kai Hamilton, who's 4-4-4 in the bull riding, is the current leader of the Top Gun Award, but you don't always see team ropers dominate so strongly here that they're giving him some heat. And to win three of four, I mean, the head horse Transmission, Jake's Red Roan, heel horse Roger, like the four, well, five beating hearts, including the steer, they're all like, it's like synchronized swimming. It's they're dialed in.
Now they've drawn good because, you know, if you well, I mean,
okay,
but there were some steers that when they were getting healed last night were bucking.
Yeah, that sucks.
For real, bucking. Like, and still these guys get a leg. I wasn't even paying attention. I'm like, are you kidding me? As soon as that steer turned the corner, he jumped left, kicks better than some of the bareback horses.
Yeah.
Kicks, and I just don't.
The team roping is one of the events with the highest degree of difficulty here, in part because of the factor of the left wall. And that's hard on, you know, a guy like Dustin Aguisguiza, who's a known, you know, gunslinger. You sling it out there too far, and you can really quickly easily get stuck in that corner and have nowhere to go. And then the steer is like loose, right.
Yeah.
and it will pull your drawers down. I don't care how good you are in that setup. So that's the one that I really don't. I need earplugs for the armchair quarterbacks who, just because these guys make it look easy does not mean it is, and it's crazy. But anyway.
And there's only, they're, it's like 6K and 3K in the world standings. Like, that's a tight,
it's that tight
race.
It is just, I mean, great watching. So we better shuffle along to the bronc riding.
I'm right behind you.
Damian Brennan. Okay, we had Thursday night, I believe, is always been Canadian night. Last night had to be Aussie night, right? We, you know, between Kai Hamilton and Damian Brennan, I thought it was pretty cool. 89 points, that big stout roan bucker, Cancun Moon, TNT Pro Rodeo. I don't know TNT yet, but Cancun Moon. And cool is that Damian is the college rodeo champ. And they said that he won the college rodeo in Stephenville at Tarleton State on that same horse that he won the round on at the NFR. That's pretty cool.
Well, and I heard, because it seems like every pin's the eliminator pin, but I must not be. But I think last night, sorry if I'm wrong, was the eliminator pin. And I got a little bit to say about that. So the contestants, through their event reps, picked the animals. It may be a little bit of an issue for them to pick the eliminator pin. I'll tell you why. Because there were some horses last night in the bronc riding that did not have as much trash, but did buck hard, right? Could throw anybody off. But there were more eliminators. There were three or four that I personally, Tommy Joe, would say, that's an eliminator. That horse is, you're doing everything just to not get thrown off. Like, your spur stroke and stuff like that is second because you just want to ride. And if you watch an eliminator pin, in my opinion, and someone gets to spur them for the whole 8 seconds and never gets rocked, something isn't right. And again, I'm not trying to cause any controversy. I just want everybody to have a fair shot. And there were guys that made the most incredible bronc rides you've ever seen for a high 70s, low 80s. And I'm talking about riding something that the other, there's probably eight in that group that wouldn't have finished it. And so that hurts my heart a little bit, you know.
Yeah. Understood. It's like when you see guys just going into pucker up survival mode, just anything to make the whistle. That's really not showing their stuff, right? That got them here that we all want to see. It's tricky.
Yeah, and Zeke, you know, that Zeke's horse had some junk to him too. I'm not taking away from anybody winning. I just think that as hard as it may be, all of them should be eliminators, which means you're going to have a lower average ride score, which they had a lot of guys thrown off. Mm-hmm. But some of those horses just bucked. They just heavy, you know, hard to ride, but bucked. Anyway, keep going.
Okay, so I have to say it, and I will go ahead and tip my hand that Lefty Holman is one of the people that is helping prevent me from having to get a tattoo this year. So I am watching, probably a little extra careful. But Lefty, when my kid wins the college finals in 2014, he was riding Lefty's horse, Poncho. I go all the way back with his family. But what I'll say about Lefty last night, him and his white boots and white hat, he was 42 and 36 on the same side. That's a 6-point spread is like, that's pretty wide open on the same side.
On the same
side. And again, I'm not a judge, and they saw what they saw, and they're shit. fat lady in the cheap seats has, you know, no room to talk. But that's 6 points on the same side is wow, that's a lot.
Well, yes, I agree with that. But it won't impact the – so when we do our analysis of our judges' scores, we take each judge and look at their aggregate scoring on each thing. So my point is,
as long as they're consistent,
if they're consistent, right?
I get that.
if he's right, relatively 6 points behind him all the way, the right guy wins.
Yes.
Now if you see, you know, he the horse turned, he couldn't really see, right, and that's an anomaly problem.
When I the consistency thing I learned, by the way, from being a Miss Rodeo America judge years ago, it's like, okay, my opinion factors in here. As long as I'm consistent.
Correct.
It doesn't matter. So fair enough. Okay. Let's talk tie down roping. Shad Mayfield strikes 6-9 like Riley Webb the night before.
Did you see? He even had a bobble on the tie.
He could have been faster.
Like, I just wonder what that run would have been like.
You know, that's Money Mayfield's way. Those guys, we've seen it a few times this week where somebody with a little bit of a hitch, John Douch had a little tiny hickey on his tie.
That's right.
When he wins the first round. Those guys are so fast, they're so strong, they're so fearless, and they keep moving forward. And that's the whole, you know, there have been people over the years we've seen, you know, if one little thing goes wrong, you know, and they basically throw their sucker in the dirt. But, that's a perfect segue into my comment about what Shad is riding here. Her name's Lollipop, bay mare that he bought from Andrew Burks. Andrew Burks barely missed the I feel like he was from maybe Mississippi. I'm not 100%. Really nice kid, really talented kid. Lollipop was his ace, and now Shad has her, but she's looking pretty shiny, and she's been a big help to.
Well, and the other thing for the maybe casual rodeo fan, that when I watch tie down here, how these guys handle their slack. What am I talking about? These cattle these cattle are unique, and when they rope the calf, they and by the way, they're experts at this. They throw extra rope at exactly the right spot to exactly the right time to accomplish a couple things. They want that calf standing. Somebody's like, well, they're, you know, no. They want that calf standing when they come down the rope, and not only standing, but turned so that their flank works. And all these little pieces to what these, and again, I'm not, everybody knows I'm, I don't
handling your slack fan. Is one of the
come on,
tiny
unbelievable
intricacies that separates the men from the boys in the tie down roping as fast as it's gotten. Another thing to say about last night's tie down roping, a couple things. Shane Hanchy got on his third horse of the week. And
oh, I thought he brought his other one back. I didn't know that was the third.
Well, he started on his horse of the year,
right,
Bugsy. Then he got on a Sorrel.
Now, he got off Bugsy because sore, injured, or just
I didn't.
Not liking
I didn't
the
hear
way
that. I think he was just trying to turn the tide a little bit. Last night, Hanchy and Ty Harris got on. I believe his name is Logan Bird. He's from Canada. This little buckskin horse by the name of Peso, I believe, is his name. And that horse is one of those little aces. There was a little buckskin they called Jaguar years ago. That, you know, Trevor and Tough Cooper, and it was like this old. You know, old, like, transmission here is being in the team roping. So, you know, they just bring in old faithful. Or, like, way back, Chad Masters getting on that old gray horse, having him hauled overnight from Arizona, the horse named Handsome, and then he sets the world record with Jade Corkle, 3-3. Like, these old salt horses are just the coolest. I will also say, we've talked about running the extras. Last night, Hunter Heron had to run the extra, and he got kicked. And that just, I'll just say that, you know, they opened the gate when he didn't nod or whatever. You know, somebody, it was inadvertent, accidental thing that happened. But we go back to the importance of these young people who run the extras after the rodeo each night to keep the runs even on them. You know, I hate to see, it's no different than a re-ride in the rough stock, right? Like, even if you get a re-ride, you want the guy to have a chance.
Right.
And you don't want to see anybody taken out by something that just doesn't fit the herd at all.
Well, agree. So they pull him?
They what?
Did they pull? No?
Did they pull what? He ran the extra and he got kicked.
Okay.
To me, it's like an eliminator in the rough stock.
Right, that's
he
what
had
I'm saying.
A, you know,
right.
And so that, nobody wants to see that. But surely in this great big world, we can find 16, 17, 18 calves and steers that are somewhat, I mean, they're all, no, they're never going to be exactly the same. But
the same
to not be kicked, to not have a stopper, to not have a kicker.
Yeah.
You know, you that seems fair.
You shouldn't draw yourself out. That's just not.
This should not be a drawing contest at our Super Bowl, no.
Okay.
Agreed. Should we talk about Sissy Wynn?
Well, yes. I think she's just cute as a bug's ear. And I like her way. And that wasn't an axe. I mean, they better watch out on a serious note. I mean, the times between top and bottom, right? When you're talking, like you said, when you're talking about less than a blink, right? I mean, unbelievable amount. But boy, she rode good, and now it's all consistency with all of them. I'm proud. I'm happy. She's won two rounds, and I hope she keeps it up. And that horse,
Scoop.
Here's what I notice. I notice the weird stuff. You get these horses when they come in to the Thomas and Mack, and you can kind of watch the horses that first their first time. They're kind of in shock, right? And then second couple performances, they settle in. They start to act more like themselves in all the disciplines. But what I like to watch is about the seventh and eighth round. There's a set of those animals that are just like us. They're just like us. They're like, okay, I'm over this, right? I did this good. Really? We're going to do this 10 times? And yeah, I thought this was cool a few times. So I always watch, you know, on all these guys that have their second half of their team as their horse. And I think that's why the transmissions in these, you know, it makes me wonder if they're not like, oh, yeah, this is a long run, guys. You know, they look over the stall and go, oh, yeah, hold on. It ain't over for a while. You might as well just settle in, yeah. Right?
Transmission was settled in before he got here. That's the coolest thing about them. Like, there's no – he's not wide-eyed here. He's just like, let's go. And so Sissy is so teensy-weensy, and she's on that huge sorrel horse. It's pretty cool. And Sissy was last year's – you know, best dressed, you know, yep. So she
always looks great.
Yeah. So this was her second round win of the week. Something that stuck out to me, Summer Cosell, I met her the other day in our travels to the Casey Tibbs Museum in South Dakota, where she was inducted along with Oates family the other night. Cowgirl. I first noticed her and how she rides at Cheyenne. I believe she set a record at Cheyenne in recent years. But last night, I don't know how many people noticed it, her reins came up over the head of her horse. She was without power steering. And to watch her navigate that, she was using her legs heavy. But when you have your reins up over your horse's head, it's on one side of the neck.
And what barrel was that?
It happened around the second, I think. But she had zero power steering on the third barrel. It was not, you know, like Charmaine Scamper spitting the bit, not having anything on his head whatsoever except for the reins around his neck. But I mean, she had
steering wheel.
Horse's
no
steering
wheel.
Yep. And yet she keeps kicking. She keeps hustling and she whips him out of the arena like that is a cowgirl.
Well, and the only little tidbit, congratulations to Brittany. I'm pretty sure that last night put her over the $1 million mark for NFR earnings, the fourth woman to do that. So congratulations to Brittany.
Super cool. And Brittany being, of course, one of only three barrel racers ever with Sherry Servey and Lisa Lockhart to win over $3 million in a career. But to win over $1 million in this arena.
Yeah, that's real.
Pretty spectacular.
That's real.
So Stetson Wright's best friend is doing pretty well in the bull riding. Kai, John.
Yeah, Greg, you know, so it was the same thing on the bull riding. It was kind of more of what I expected to kind of start happening with some of these younger guys. I was really happy to see Sage show his veteran prowess. Expected it, kind of, with the bull he drew. I don't do the whole, I don't study who they draw. But that kind of ground money and that situation, the way it was lining out, because don't you have him in fantasy?
Sage? I do have him in fantasy.
Well, so
your tidies were a little white right then, weren't they?
When he rode, I was pumped because
to also be clear, there's a couple things. One, if people don't know it, the bull riders have opted that when there's ground money in recent years, the ground money counts toward the world standings. That's a rather big deal. When Kai Hamilton and Sage Kimsey are the only two guys to ride last night, Kai Hamilton, instead of winning $30,000, he won $52,746 bucks, and it all counts. That's a big deal.
Here's what's really interesting. When they voted to make that, guess who was against it? Sage. Because they did it. They did it when Sage was dominating, right, to give him a chance. And now it worked in his favor, right? And so it's interesting how all of that depends on your perspective on what you think's the best rule has a lot to do with where you're sitting.
I also will say this for Sage Kimsey. The night before in round three, Trevor Brazil's words were going through my head on Sage handling the fact that he did not get a re-ride when I think virtually everyone thought he would. His brother Trey got a re-ride and capitalized. Sage was waiting for the re-ride in round three, and it didn't come. For whatever reason, what he felt and what everybody seemed to see, again, it's so easy to see things, you know, when you get to watch a replay on the big screen. But the judges, for whatever reason, didn't see it. But Trevor Brazil always has said, to make it in rodeo, you have to have a short memory. So to Sage's credit, I promise you, his blood pressure pumped very hard in round three to not get the re-ride he felt he deserved. But he came back last night like the champion that he is, let it go, and moved forward.
Well, now, have you heard this? I'm not stating this as fact, but I heard that Sage announced on a show here that he's essentially going to go full-time PBR. Have you heard anything
about that? I've seen him saying he is going to go to the PBR.
Well, he's on a team. I know he's in there.
Yeah, but I have seen that he's going to, you know, make a big move. But I have not seen any inkling. What I've just heard, not out of his mouth, but through the trees, is that he still thinks he can win it in the PRCA also.
Oh, and I think he can.
Which Josh Frost is going for it also in both. That's like, yeah, make hay while the sun's shining kind of an attitude.
Yeah, I get that. But you also have to...
The injury factor is
the injury factor, the roof. And also just staying concentrated, right? You don't get to the NFR without... It's going to be hard to balance both.
Okay, come here. Because show your face right here. Okay, Jennifer Williams... I'll let you go in 1 minute, but 8 gold buckles in a row for Speed Williams, and now we have superstar Haley Williams. This one here is the one behind the wheel with the camera, every practice run, every run in the arena. She's like, what did I call you? The Williams Wonder Woman. She's it.
I don't know if I go that far, but...
The humble, she's who makes it happen. And when we're watching Gabe here at the NFR, Gabe Williams, in a few years, she'll be running the camera for him too. Her kids are lighting it up right now, and Speed lit it up right now, and it's because of Jennifer.
It's always the ones like this that are filling the feed bags.
Yes, sir.
That are making sure there's something to eat, that are really the backbone of all the buckles. It's just the truth.
She's the glue. Carry on. Good to see you.
Go get to work.
Oh, and by the way, I have her daughter on the Rodeo Deep Dive show today with Amy Wilson from 1:30 to 2 at the Convention Center, live on the Cowboy Channel. Today's show is Big Boots to Fill, and we have Marcus Terrio, son of 1994 world champion tie-down roper, Haley Williams, Speed and Jennifer's daughter.
Yep.
and Trey Kimsey to talk about what it's like to be to walk around in Sage's big brother shadow.
You're doing a really good job with that show. That's
thank
a good
you.
Show.
I think it's really fun.
Show. It's been very good. All right, we've got 5 minutes left. We've kind of run through. Greg, anything on your end? Any feedback? Any?
The only feedback we got yesterday was a very nice text from the 252 saying they love listening to us. They love the inside information that they get. So, and for those of you who want to provide some feedback, it's text us at 817-668-2395 or email us at nospinfeedback@gmail.com. And we appreciate all types of feedback.
Okay, we have 5 minutes left. Oat, you get talked about more on this show than anybody, so get over here.
He's giving us daggers like it's time to go.
No, I asked him before. I said 10:30, right? You said right.
It is. Sit here?
It is officially 10:24.
Yeah, but I'm on Lombardi time, you know. It's always 10 minutes earlier. You know?
So tell us.
Today's opening day of the Oat Berries Junior Star Wrestling World Championship over at the Convention Center. 45 of the greatest rising stars, like the Bridger Andersons, like this year's rookie of the year, Cash Robb's been one of our stars. You know, it's where the next round of the Bulldoggers are coming from, and it's cool.
Well, what you guys do to cultivate the next generation, we can't take for granted. But I'm interested in this. So is there ever at any point in the next 5 days when you're staring us down on this, if there was ever a really funny or weird moment with Kendra in the last 24 hours, I need, the finger. Yeah. So what was your
How can
take?
You get hurt going to the bathroom?
How do you, like she said she bled, got white. What, when she came out, were you like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of sympathy
for a cut finger.
Yeah, for a cut finger, I'm like, you know, get over it. You know, let's go. I'm always in a hurry. You know, I'm always trying to get to the next place, and may not have the most patience of anyone. And so, you know,
but she's short winded. I mean,
yeah,
she's
but
quick.
I step over five saddles to get in bed every night.
Well, and all the other stuff.
Come on.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Well, yeah. You guys are a cool couple. And so we wanted to, you know, tell us what's your predictions. Any kids that you're looking at in this deal that you think, hey.
I mean, we have so many. The talent level the last 6-7 years that we've been doing this is just through the roof. You know, Landers White, Rookie of the Year this year, last year, and Cash Robb and Bridger Anderson and the Swallow Boys, and there's so many different athletes coming on. Steve Duhon's grandson, Sam Schaffner, is right at the top of the leaderboard this year. Cole Pugh. I can just go on and on. Tad Williams, a boy from Utah, is just 16 years old and has as much talent. I mean, he reminds me of a Tyler Wagenspeck.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, he has the style. He has a work ethic. And these guys are, before long, like I said, just a few short years, they'll be across town here at the Thomas and Mack.
A couple quick questions. Is there a young hazer that, like, does it – or and is there the horse shuffle? Like, this is what I'm wondering. So not only are these kids learning, but are they bringing their own mounts? Are they bringing their own hazers? Is hazer's dad, is it, you know, is there big-time talent in there? How does that work?
Yeah, a lot of these, you know, most of these kids are in high school, a few of them in college already. And you know how it is when you're in high school. Most of the time at the high school rodeos, the dads do the hazing for them. And,
yeah.
You know, and it's hard to say sometimes, but sometimes dad should stay home.
That's what I was kind of getting at, right?
But yes, there is a lot of the kids that haze for each other, and you know that's just part of the learning process. And you know they may not be the greatest right now, but this is how you learn. You get out there and start.
And also, we're seeing that at the Thomas and Mack because you know Remy Parrott, his big brother Rowdy Parrott's an NFR Bulldogger, but Remy Parrott is here hazing for Tyler freaking Wagasback.
Yeah, and, you know, and Remy competed in our tour a few years ago, and also hazed for a lot of kids in that tour. So, I mean, he learned at a young age not just how to steer wrestle, but how to haze, and now he's one of the best in the business. And yes, I think there'll be some of these kids that not only bulldogging, but they'll be hazing at the Thomas and Mack before long.
Well, and to put a button on this, because we're out of time, but do you guys cultivate – the steer wrestlers have a culture. There is no doubt. There's not a thicker group in this industry with each other's back. Do you cultivate that? Do you train that also?
I think so. When, you know, and that's when Tyler and Rowdy and them guys were young and come and stayed with me. And yeah, and I think you teach that. Not only, you know, do you go practice together, but you, you know, hopefully they, you know, you lead by example and they watch, you know, like I did with Roy Duvall. You know, Roy was kind enough let me rodeo with him for a lot of years, Roy and his brother Bill and Sam, and you just you learn from watching them and being around them, and it's just it's like you said, it's a brotherhood, and take it for granted. We're going to do everything we can to help each other, but when I back in there, I'm going to try to beat your ass.
And not only having each other's backs and helping each other, may the best man win, you know, like hazing for each other, letting people ride your horse, whatever it is, but you know, the no excuses, you know, and like, you know, Tyler, when he was young, lived with Oat. Well, Cash Robb, this year's Rookie of the Year, spends a ton of time at Tyler Waggus' backs. And that's how bulldoggers are. It's like they you know, take the next one in and they pass it on. And it's not just the camaraderie, but the winning, you know, and we're going to outwork everybody.
You know you can't do this forever, so, you know, don't keep it to yourself. Pass it on. Help the next generation and give back to the sport that, you know, was so great to us.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time. Thank you to one of the greats, Oat. He'll be here with us for the next 5 days, making sure we're on time, and we appreciate that. Hey, that's it for this episode. We're taking tomorrow off. Two performances, round 6 and 7 tomorrow, right? Then we get back into the regular round things. So we'll be taking tomorrow off, and so we'll be back here on Thursday morning with our next edition of No Spin Rodeo. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you to the South Point Hotel and Casino. Thank you, Mr. Teagarden, Kendra, Oat. We'll see y'all Thursday.
We're out.